In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Best-selling author Chelsea Whitbrook tells about the competing voices she experienced when she quit her job and began her own business as a spiritual director. Chelsea had been working as a teacher assistant in the Minneapolis public schools, a position with a steady salary, excellent benefits, and absolute job security. But it was a high-stress, understaffed environment that was sucking the life out of her. And, Chelsea reports, in spite of how cute some of the kids were some of the time, her true passion was helping people grow spiritually. As she considered leaving her job to be a self-employed spiritual director, she writes that she had all these positive internal voices encouraging her on. You hate your current job. You experience vicarious trauma all week long. And you're so good in spiritual direction sessions with your clients. You're in the flow. You're completely present. You are using your gifts to nourish other people's spiritual lives and your own. But along with those encouraging voices, she writes about competing voices too. All these negative messages bombarding her as well. You don't know how to start your own business. How are you going to figure out self-employment and taxes and insurance? Don't be so selfish thinking you deserve to do what you love to do. You're going to be disappointed when it doesn't work out. Everyone gets trauma from their job. Just do your cute little spiritual projects on the side. Very different, these two sets of inner competing voices. The one set coming from the essence of who she is as a person, the deep desire of the heart. The second set was an assault by some tenacious inner critic, an ego driven by fear instead of hope. Now, in today's gospel passage, we find a blind man sitting by the side of a thoroughfare begging. Mark's account of this event lets us know that the blind man's name is Bartimaeus. And I'd like you to consider the two competing voices we witness as Jesus walks by. On the one hand, we have blind Bartimaeus crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." And Son of David was the title of the Messiah in those days. Bartimaeus, in the middle of this cry for help and this cry for healing mercy, is also confessing something. He's confessing Jesus to be the long-awaited Messiah, the long-awaited Savior. He wants to see clearly, both physically and spiritually, and he wants to follow Christ because he knows that he is the Messiah. And we know that he wants to follow Christ because after Bartimaeus is healed, he does just that. It says he became a follower of Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, is one voice. Competing with that cry for mercy and that confession of Jesus as Christ, competing with that voice are the voices of the crowds who turn and warn little Bartimaeus, "Be quiet. Be quiet. Stay silent. Stay in your lane. Accept your lot in life and don't stir things up." Of course, Bartimaeus ignores those voices and cries out more fervently, "Jesus, have mercy." And in doing so, in ignoring the competing voices, Bartimaeus receives his sight, both physical and spiritual, and he finds life as a follower of Jesus. Bartimaeus finds the joy of the kingdom of God. And now this, of course, was a real event, but as with most accounts in the gospel, there's also a spiritual meaning as well, a layer of meaning that points to the inner spiritual life. And in this deeper layer of interpretation, the story represents the competing voices within each person, within each of us. We all come into the world, you know, as innocent children with deep desires that each child knows are life-giving. We're wired that way. God creates us that way, coming into the world knowing what is good, and we have desires for goodness. And as you mature and change, you may discover new invitations that God is delighted to place in you. And the most vital, the most life-giving of all these desires is communion with God, with our source of life. To be in love with God and to share love with neighbor, that's humanity's true foundational desire. And this desire, of course, when we think about all the people that there are, can have like 40 billion different details in the specifics of how you are invited to live this out. The details for you, of course, are going to be different from the details of the next person. For Bartimaeus, the details were, I want to see. I want to see, and I want to follow. I want to be a follower of Jesus. For author Chelsea Whitbrook, she wanted to leave secular employment and become a spiritual director, helping other people discover the divine light within. And so for each of us, the question comes, what are your deepest and most life-giving desires? And we're not talking about, ooh, I'm in the mood for a slab of chocolate. And we're not certainly not talking about, oh, I'd like a new car or fancy clothes or anything like that. I'm talking about the deep, the fulfilling desires that our God of heaven plants inside you. And sometimes, and maybe this is you, sometimes people don't even stop to consider what those deep desires are. They're so busy with getting through the day, they never stop and ask themselves, what would make me whole and alive? Or people sometimes think that it's holy to just set my desires aside. And maybe it is holy to set some desires aside, like for that slab of chocolate. But it says in Psalms, our deep desires, our life-giving desires, these are from God. God put those in us. God gives you those desires. And therefore, ignoring them will eventually make you miserable. It'll eventually make you unhappy in a deep way. But pursuing the ones that God gives you, that'll bring you life. That's going to bring you life. And the beauty is found in the fact that when you do identify a life-giving, a communion with God type of desire, you'll not only be drawn to it with joy, it will give you a sense of peace. The desires that are of God bring peace. But be prepared. Be prepared. You will also experience competing voices. All the powers of hell, not to mention your own internal voices of doubt, are going to try to steer you away. Just like they did with our author, Chelsea Whitbrook. Don't be so selfish. You're going to be disappointed. It's safe where you are. Stay in your lane. Just get about your day. Or like to Bartimaeus, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Bartimaeus, he ignored those voices. Thank God, right? And he cried out all the more, Jesus, have mercy. I know what I want because it's coming from a deep, deep place. Let me receive my sight and let me follow you. So maybe this week, during your prayer, your meditation, your quiet time, you might just take some time to listen and hear and consider what desires of your heart are most from the love of God and are the most life-giving to you. Amen.